Okay, I'll go ahead and go through the instructions one more time and then we'll get started. Again, you should have received an email about an hour ago with a reminder about today's conference and a link to the notes for today's conference. However, if you did not receive that for some reason, you can just point your web browser directly to mecgroups.com / mec_research_log. And again, that's the same page we use for all these conferences. So if you've attended one before or you plan on attending conferences in the future, you may just want to bookmark that for your convenience. Some key commands that you might find helpful are *4 will increase the volume on your line if you're able to hear. *6 will mute your line if you're in a noisy room. And then if you have any questions during the conference, *6 again will unmute your line so that you can talk and we can hear you. Next month we'll be departing from our usual 4 p.m. Eastern Time conference schedule. And we have yet to schedule next month's conferences, but some of the topics that we'll be researching in the next 2 months or so include testing eBay's new pay-per-click service, optimizing subscription revenue for subscription-based websites, which was originally supposed to be the topic of today's clinic, but while we gather some extra data, we had to postpone that, and instead we'll be doing easy advertising today. Other topics coming up are cross-selling on the web. That was actually supposed to be today's topic. Sorry about that. And how customer ratings impact sales. We've got several other topics in the works as well. And at this time, I'd like to introduce Dr. Flint McLaughlin, who will be our primary speaker for today's conference. Dr. McLaughlin.
Okay, Brian, thank you very much. We're going to get started here in just a few moments. We've been conducting a lot of research in this area. We have another data set that we may include in the final report before we release it, but we have an initial data set that certainly will be sufficient for the purposes of our conference today. And I want to get started right with it. Now, we do have Brian Ault on the phone. And we also have a research partner of ours who will be helping us with this conference call. His name is Stephen Weinkoop. I'll be saying more about Stephen in just a few moments. And I think we'll just wade right into this. Jimmy Ellis is also on the phone, who's another analyst with our team and is has been working with us on the testing project that we're going to be discussing in just a moment. There's essentially three questions. Our topic is advertising and how to optimize your email newsletter advertising campaigns. We want to achieve the answers, or at least work on three specific questions, and that is, how effective is easy in advertising? How can you gauge the effectiveness of your easy in advertising campaigns? And how can get the most out of your easy in advertising dollars? So let's begin with the first one, and that is, and just moving from my notes for a moment, in the early days of the Internet, easy in advertising came on very strong. But as time passed, with the dot-com bust and other issues, easing publishers could hardly find anyone to advertise in their publications. And in fact, many of them shut down their sites. Many of them struggled and are still struggling today. But we have begun to discover over the last, I'd say, 12 months of research, that targeted easy in advertising is probably still one of the very most effective mediums on the net. In terms of actually producing a strong ROI, it has great potential, and it's being overlooked. Being overlooked by large companies because their agencies don't know how to really do it correctly. It's being overlooked by small companies because they haven't really dedicated the time to conduct testing. And it's being overlooked by many people simply because to do it correctly requires finding the right e-zines and investing the time to develop ads, and you're typically dealing with smaller buys. That can play very well for a small company who can control its budget and spend $1,500 to $2,000 per campaign. For a larger company who needs to achieve a very high exposure, there's still a way to aggregate your advertising across a multiple series of platforms, testing on one e-zine, taking your release, moving them to the next. We're going to talk about that. In October, we completed a specialized advertising campaign for one of our sites. The ad ran once in a well-respected business e-zine, and here are the results. Brian's going to refresh your notes, and you'll begin to notice those. If you look at the chart on your notes, there were a total of 500,000 email messages, 307 click-throughs from those messages. Of the 307, there were 25 information requests. CTR, the click-through rate, was just 0.06%, very small. The click-to-action rate was 8.14%. But campaign cost was only $1,000. Projected revenue this month, based on the average value of the customer, is $84,000. So what you need to understand is that 500,000 emails were delivered that contained an ad and generated only 25 leads, and that the 6% click-through rate, while well below what many of us would want to target, generated a return of 8,400% return on investment, ROI, pure campaign cost, not including labor, pair of the ads. So we would consider this a success, as I think any of us would, but there are, you know, components that we have to look at to understand why it was successful and what type of ads work most effectively in these types of situations. And so let's kind of review some things that we discovered. First of all, the ad itself contained a strong call to action that highly qualified the responses that were received, meaning it might well have pulled much higher than 0.06%. But despite all the talk you hear on the internet about conversion, 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 which is indeed an important metric, the real metric in the end is profit. And in the interest of having a high conversion rate, many of us are sacrificing the number that means the most. Let me give you an example. You can make a sign-up for your easing ad so compelling that everybody signs up. Or you can buy a poor quality list and brag about how many names you have on it. But really what matters at the end when an advertiser runs something in your e-zine is how much results, how much money did he make, and that's going to depend on the influence. And influence is measured qualitatively as well as quantitatively, and you can have more influence with 10 of the right people than 10,000 of the wrong ones. Some of us are so good at optimizing our landing page that we can get anybody to click, but once we get them to the landing page, we can't get them to buy. Or, as in the case of a research partner we worked with recently, they could get lots of clicks. They could get lots of purchases. They could not get retention. And though they were making lots of sales, the retention rate was so low, profitability was suffering greatly. We had to work with them. When we got done, believe it or not, we dramatically reduced their conversion ratio because we told people the truth up front, very clearly about the product. But the people who bought stayed. Retention is up, profits are up, revenue is up 33%. Their business model has evolved into a far stronger model, and their customer service problems are far less. My point would be that though this campaign pulled just over 0.5% in terms of click-through rate and generated only 25 information requests, they were the right information requests from the right people. And so this easy in advertising campaign worked. So you may want to consider then how you can gauge the effectiveness of your easy in advertising campaigns. What metrics do you really need to capture in order to determine what's working? Most of us would probably know that the best protocol for running an e-zine campaign would be to start with a smaller e-zine, getting the right profile, perfecting your copy, getting back your responses, and then using that to begin to approach like e-zines, prepared to customize the copy for their audience, but already having learned enough lessons about what appeals to your general profile of a customer to craft just the right advertisement. To do that, you're going to need to get the right tracking. And the first is your click-through tracking. And this is the absolute minimum that you have to track for all zine advertising. Click-through tracking will tell you the number of clicks each of your ads generate, which will allow you to calculate your click-through rate. by dividing the number of clicks by the total number of email messages sent. There is a tool, if you're not familiar with, if your site, for instance, if you use plain text, and if some of you have seen our work, many times plain text e-zines outpull HTML e-zines, and many times complicated or complex or beautiful or appealing graphic banners in an e-zine do nothing but keep people from reading the editorial. We suggest you consider a group called prolinks.com, PROLINKZ. Brian, what do you have as the number for that, link number?
That's link number 2 in the notes.
That's link number 2. Prolinks will let you not only shorten long URLs, which is important if you're doing an e-zine ad, it'll give you a way with a little script to write shorter links, but you can also use it to capture metrics on people and, that are clicking on your links. You say, you may think, well, I already have a way to do that because it's HTML. It's true, but what we like to do often is to set up a secondary way to measure so that we can make sure that between Prolinks and whatever else we're using, or whatever else the publisher's telling us, we're getting numbers that we know are accurate and that we can compare. It's wonderful to have more than one source in terms of your metrics. Second thing is that you'll need to track is the conversion. Beyond click-through data, a better indicator of the success of an e-zine advertising campaign or any ad campaign is the return on investment. Track conversion or sales from an e-zine ad will require a more sophisticated tracking solution that will allow you to follow someone from the e-zine ad through your site to a purchase if possible. There are programs out there that will help you do that. And in fact, some of the programs that work with pay-per-click tracking using a, you know, a one-pixel GIF or GIF and or sometimes a piece of JavaScript, either one of these can be helpful in tracking all the way through to the order. That is a really valuable piece of information, and if you can capture it, you want to do that. Another key metric or process that you're going to want to measure is what we call visitor path tracking. To be the most thorough and to derive the most valuable insights, you would track not only click-throughs and conversions, but also the actual path that visitors take through your site. For example, you might find that a certain e-zine that generates a lower CTR might at the same time generate visitors that spend more time on your site, thus results in building a strong relationship and or potentially more sales. So these are all tools that you can use to help you track and measure most effectively as you launch a campaign. But and there's more. We have Brian will give you the link numbers here, and he can refresh this. If you, I guess you already have these in front of you. We've written 2 detailed reports on the metrics side of your marketing campaigns, how to capture good metrics, what metrics you need, and what are those report numbers, Brian?
Those are 3 and 4.
3 and 4 in your notes right now, the links. So if you'd like to visit those as members, you'll have access immediately to that. Now, I've moved rather briskly through this whole first part of the program because I felt we needed to get down to the how-to part, and that's how can we get the most out of our e-zine advertising dollars. And I want to begin to answer that. But to start out with, I'd like to go ahead and introduce Stephen Weinkoop. Stephen is a very effective website publisher who has a community now of 190,000 plus members. I'll let him tell you more about them. He does a daily e-zine as well as a web seminars or webcasts, and he is really the leader in his industry. I think he's written, 10 books in his field. He's the president of the SQL Server Worldwide Users Group, and he's more or less a guru. He's also a superb, one of the only and best ways, someone who wants to reach his audience. And so I want to use him as an example to help us understand how you would craft a deal with somebody who is in, you know, an e-zine publisher, and for him to tell us a little bit about how it works from his standpoint. While I'm doing that, or before doing that, I'd like to point out for you that very frequently when setting up a campaign with a publisher, we assume that we know more about what our ad needs to be than the e-zine site publisher. I've often found that you'll be much more, in fact, I think this is one of our points later on in our notes, to actually listen to the publisher and get him to help you to craft the ad that will appeal to his audience. Because you may know your product more than he does, but he probably knows his audience better than you do. So, Stephen,
wow, what an introduction.
Introduction. I shall let you take us to your site. There's a numbered link. What's the link for SWUG?
At the very last, number 22 at the bottom of the page.
Number 22. Stephen, go ahead.
So probably with this, click on that number 22 link there to SWUG.com. What that'll do, that'll take you to the home page of the site. And I want to tell you really, really briefly what we do. It's just a SQL Server resource site, which is a database product. But what we really wanted to talk about was how the newsletter works. And Flint mentioned that we have a daily newsletter. We also have a weekly edition. And we have different advertising packages that we make available to people that want to advertise both on the site and in the newsletter. We found that the banners on the site, like on the right-hand side that you see on that home page, pull a lot less than do the newsletter advertisements, mostly because we found that an advertisement sort of inside of the editorial text pays and plays a lot better with the readers of the e-zine. So let me show you how that plays out. If you see the headline there, it says, from the editor, Oracle Vulnerability Scaling SQL Server. If you click on that, that will take you to another page, and you have a big shouting headline there. This text is what appeared in the editorial for today's newsletter. And when you first look at this, it looks like, you know, here we're talking about the Oracle vulnerability, we've got an upcoming webcast and scaling up SQL Server, and then we've got the section called goodies. And the goodies are advertisements. What we've done is to put these in line with the editorial so that it just comes across as part of the editorial. So people read through this, and I put a very personalized spin on it, and we've had really excellent, outstanding click-throughs. Our advertisers say that it's the biggest paying advertisement they have on any site on the Internet. But the big key thing is we don't run big banners. We don't set up the newsletter specifically to support buttons and banners and things like that. And it really goes to Flint's note about the fact that we found that our audience responds better to this type of advertising or this type of mention for our sponsors versus those buttons and banners. And we actually do fight quite a bit with sponsors that want to put big old graphic ads and things like that in our newsletters. We try to explain to them that people see that and they immediately start scrolling down the newsletter to ignore that advertisement and get to the text and the meat of the newsletter. And we found that this goodies approach works really well. So that's sort of how we work. This is just the editorial. The actual newsletter that goes out goes with this editorial at the very top of it, and then all of today's new articles and things like that on the site. So that's, in a nutshell, the types of things we're doing.
Stephen, as I talk through some of these points, would you feel free to interrupt me and interject things from your own experience also? You know, because
no problem.
I'm sure that some of this is going to resonate with you, and you'll have information to add. And essentially, what we're trying to do is get I'm talking about now our listeners, an ability to interact now with somebody who is a publisher and get his perspective while at the same time getting it from our research staff so that combined between all three parties here, we can figure out how to do this stuff right. And so I shall begin with one of the key points here, and that has to do with your copy. In particular, when it comes to an e-zine, you're often trading. Your ad is often trading in the influence of the writer. Because e-zines typically have a personal audience. The best ones, those that produce the most, including this one, produce well because, as you'll notice here, Stephen's picture is on this article. People know who Stephen is. People like him. That's actually not Stephen. That's an actor that he hired to portray him, someone far more handsome.
Exactly.
Than I've met in my life.
Completely unrelated individual.
No, the reality is that people know who Stephen is. They like Stephen, and they trust Stephen, and that's why he has an audience that pays attention to what he talks about, what he recommends, and even when he permits to be advertising his site. They really do believe he would not advertise junk on his site, and I know he wouldn't. And so the bottom line is you want to bear in mind when you're writing your copy that the old-fashioned direct mail type copy full of hype is likely not going to pull nearly as well on a site like this. it goes right along with the fact that you don't typically want to use loud, flashy, splashy banners. Truth is, that approach will get you somebody. The audience has an ability to put their guard up and basically tune out whatever it is you're trying to scream at them through a loud banner ad. But their eyes bear in and focus on the text, and often simple text ads will far outpull, and simple text links will far outpull the banner. So it works. This less is more principle applies both in the design and also in the content of your ad. We suggest you read our report on transparent marketing if you haven't already. It talks about a new way to speak with your potential audience or prospects, and it reveals some new test data about your language, your tone, etc. That is a link number in your document, which I should probably have in front of me, Brian, but you go ahead and tell them what that number is.
Sure. Transparent marketing is link number 5 in the notes.
Okay. Now, this brings me to number 3, which is really a key point. Give yourself multiple ways to win. If the primary goal of your e-zine ad campaign is to sell a product, don't overlook the secondary benefits. These might include generating newsletter signups, members of your affiliate program, members for your online community, strategic partnerships, and so on. Essentially, the ad may focus on one item, but people who are encountering that item should come within the proximity of other offers that give them successive levels of interaction with you. What I mean by that is, though I may not be willing to buy your product, I am been intrigued enough to at least click on your link and come to your site. If I won't commit enough to reach in my pocket and take out money, will I at least give you my email address about something I'm particularly interested in so that you can send me more information? Will I do something less than the ultimate goal? Or will I do something less that will help, and I'm speaking now from the marketing standpoint, that you as a marketer can later turn into the ultimate goal, which might be, a large sale? One of our candidates for a research partnership that we've talked with said to us that their average contract yields $15 to $18 million, and essentially this entire marketing department said, if you can help us just get one good lead this year with your research, it would be a stunning success. Well, the reason I bring that up is because they don't, with an e-zine ad, have someone go in and charge $18 million on a credit card. They use an e-zine ad to establish a relationship, which is an entree to a series of steps that lead to a decision cycle that in the end can translate into a actual major transaction. And so you have to think holistically when you think about how you're doing this e-zine ad, and you have to think holistically when you're measuring return on investment as well. That includes the money you make back in 30 days and includes the average value of the customer over a year. And that brings me to a point, again, not on my notes, but the Internet has mistakenly been trumpeted for its width instead of its depth. I hear often about all the millions of people around the world who are on the Internet, and I hear constantly about the width of the Internet, but in reality, it's the depth of the Internet. That's the ability for you to drill down specifically on an extremely targeted audience, building extremely targeted relationships that will yield for you a true reward. And that applies also in the way you structure your offering for an e-zine. And I'll move on, but please hear me on this. As a fuzzy-headed, not that I have a lot of hair, Jimmy, but a fuzzy-headed researcher in a laboratory looking all day long at marketing across around the world, one of the things that I have noted is that those companies developing products that have larger margins and or, most importantly, larger dollar values in terms of the average customer's value, those companies find it easy to advertise on the Internet. Why? Because it is much easier to find a specific audience and sell them something expensive on the Internet than it is to sell 10 million widgets. Now, mind you, there are companies out there selling a lot of things on the Internet that are, they're selling companies that sell small items and do well. I know I have a research partner that sells $20 million this year and one very specific little computer part. Only one part, and that's all they carry. Average sale is under $30 probably. But for the most part, And in fact, just taking them for instance, they have to be so careful about every step they make in their marketing because it is so easy for them to lose their shirt on a Google or an Overture campaign or on any of these things. But in your case, if you are engineering your products that you want to use in an e-zine campaign, try to lead with a more expensive product or at least have that as the end game because it will help you cost justify all kinds of maneuvering, as in the case of the product that we just advertised in our research test that we talked about at the beginning of this. Think depth, not just width, but depth. All right, so then number four, and I mentioned this, but I'll go ahead and point it out again. Utilize the expertise of the e-zine publisher. He or she should know the e-zine's audience better than anyone. And while the publisher does have an interest in selling you an ad, and so might overestimate the audience and value, he or she should still be able to give you advice on what kinds of ads will generate the best results for the given audience. And I'll tell you, the good publishers I know aren't interested in the one ad. They're interested in the relationship, and they all get very concerned about selling you an ad that doesn't produce. So, you know, when you're dealing with the right publisher, you really want to get their assistance and their help. And most importantly, if you can get them excited themselves about your product and get them to speak about it in any editorial way whatsoever, it will make a significant difference for you.
And Flint, if I could add something to that. If you can, if the publisher will sort of slant their newsletter a little bit to related topics and then have your item featured in there, you'll find that you get really, really strong pull on your item. So, for example, in my world, if we were going to advertise somebody's product that backs up their computer, the editorial stuff could be about teaching people the best practices or the best ways to go about backing up their computer, that type of thing. And then, you know, all of a sudden here's this wonderful editorial mention that, oh, by the way, you can run over to this site and grab a free trial download of this product to back up your system. And, oh, by the way, we also have a webcast that's about backing up your system and how you do that. And the webcast might be free, and the product is a trial download, but it's not free. And then there's editorial. So if you can sort of get the publisher to wrap or get the idea is to get the reader thinking about that topic, and then all of a sudden, bing, here's your ad there, and oh, wow, that's exactly what I need, and I can go get that. We've had a lot of really good, strong success with that. We can double or triple click-through rates doing that type of approach.
That's an excellent point, and I would also point out for you that when it comes to spending your money on the Internet, spend deep, not wide. If you get a publisher that's cooperative with you, pay more for a good program. It'll produce more for you. Microtest your way in. Find which publishers that work well with you and appeal to the audience that's going to convert well for you, and then, you know, develop a long-term, healthy relationship, and don't be afraid to spend more money with them. Don't spread your money out. Focus it where it's going to get you the most results. So, well said, Stephen, and I'll continue now. Another key point would be, as you're thinking through what you're doing, make sure you're capturing the email addresses of the audience that you're attracting from the publisher to your site. Why should you pay again to get access to that audience? Now, I'm not talking about taking his audience. I'm saying you should have a strong email capture component in your site so that you've just spent X thousands of dollars. People have come rushing to your site. They didn't buy. Get their email address. Get them into the cycle. Get them into your community. Get them somehow participating. At MEC, and we have a completely new site that none of you as members can see yet that we're, you know, beta testing and going to be launching soon, and we're quite eager to do that. But I would just point out that on the front side of the MEC site, even now, there's no mention of membership. You have to have already gone through the homepage and read an article before you're going to get talked to about membership. Why is that? Because we want your address before we want your membership. If you could give us membership right away, wonderful. But the reality is I'm afraid that by promoting the membership too much on the front side of the site, I cannot I might confuse you and you not give us an email address that is subscribed to the free edition. And we know that if you subscribe to the free edition, we have a very strong chance of building, you know, a relationship that will eventually lead to you becoming a member. So, you know, to get very personal there and to reveal our Machiavellian plan, I would point out that if nothing else, and in many cases, I want the email address more than I want anything else. And I want to treat it respectfully and build a relationship. So I shall go on and say that another key point here is by the way, there's in your notes, there are two reports on email capture tested and email capture pop-ups tested with extensive notes and scripts for doing what I just described. What number are those links, Jimmy? These are prior experiences.
Over 6 and 7.
Seven, okay. All right, so moving on, format your ads well. Most publishers will provide specific guidelines for the dimensions of your ad. If possible, use ample white space to set your ad apart from the surrounding content. Make your ads easy to read and understand. Use bullet points when possible and outline the key benefits. Use a strong I-pass. And then also consider that it may not be a hard direct sell. The straightest line between your customer's mind and your acquisition of them or a sale may not be to simply come into that first ad and sell something. It may be to offer a free download of X or Y that gets them to your site and gets them exposed to your offering, which brings me back to the email address capture concept. That's not the only way to do it, but my point would be sometimes for certain types of things, you have to work your way in with a preliminary step, bringing me to number 7. You need to test your headlines. This is no different than direct mail. Your headlines matter a great, great deal. And we have a tool for that. You may want to visit that. Let's visit that link real quickly. What number is it, Jimmy?
That's number 8.
8, Brian. Number 8.
I'm thinking about me. It's all right.
Number, and feel free to jump in here, Jimmy, anytime. Yeah, there's things you may have to add to this. I mean, you conducted the test. Use an effective ad headline and utilize this headline analysis tool that you see here. It actually is designed to help generate new headlines if you're having a hard time thinking them through by presenting alternate words that have been rated through studies as being, more efficient. For instance, we know through multiple tests that still, after all this time, the word new is a positive word in a headline that often gets someone's attention. It's a better word to use than cutting edge, for instance. And so you may want to consider the tool that's on this site. It's very simple. You put in your headline, it suggests alternatives, and you can use that to generate ideas. Obviously, it's not foolproof, but it might be a creative stimulus. Point number 8 is don't ignore branding. Include your domain name and our company name prominently in your ad copy. This is especially important when your ad will be seen by tens or hundreds of thousands of recipients. We're a bunch of hardcore direct marketers for the most part on the internet, but we don't realize there's a whole other world out there so often that, and I say this as an advertiser because we work with the New York Times, and they argue that, hey, when you buy an ad on the New York Times website, you're not just getting, clicks. The value is not just how many clicks you get, but the value is the fact that your brand is being recognized by thousands of people at the New York Times and on their site, and that already has its own value. So they have obviously ulterior motives for that argument, but it's fairly persuasive as well. For some companies, branding matters a great deal. It may not matter for some of you at this point, but I'll tell you right now, those people who said 5 years ago on the internet and 3 years ago that branding doesn't matter were wrong. I came to the conclusion after a lot of thinking about it and some time, maybe 3 years ago, that branding was going to be more important on the internet. And the reason is this. While at the one point, people are not loyal to brand as they used to be in some ways, loyal to brand simply for the sake of loyalty. On the other hand, in the midst of the confusion and clutter of 1,000 offers, the ones that are going to be recognized and the ones that are going to more likely be trusted are those specific brands that have come to represent a certain or connect with a memory. They're impact brands. They're brands that you've come across before, and you're going to find over and over again that not only is brand important on the internet, but brand will crush many of the smaller competitors on the net because they won't be able to get heard above the clamor. Now, the other mistake is to go on the internet with your big brand like IBM or someone and think that your brand's going to make it for you, because it won't. But a strong offer, that means a really genuine value proposition and a strong brand going to win every time over one or the other. Brand matters. Some of you need to be thinking about building your brand. And even Swug here, Stephen's brand matters on the internet. He's 191,500 members. Many of you may never have heard of Swug, but if you tell you what, If you're a database programmer, you probably have heard of Stephen Weinkoop, and you've probably heard of this name, Swug. You've probably heard of it because they're now number one, and he wants to continue to build his brand, which brings me on to another one. Chop around. Be careful, especially in the early part of your testing. Get an audience that's closely related to you, but take the smaller ad deal to begin with. Perfect and test your ad copy until you get a general sense that this copy has been, it's been optimized. And then once you've done that, go with a smaller e-zine, smaller audience, but a good one, and use it as a baseline to get some initial feedback. And from that, you may begin to refine before you invest in a larger. And also, consider using Google to test the headlines in advance. Consider using your pay-per-click, some of the key copy from your pay-per-click ads, those that pull the most. I find that the pay-per-click engines are just as valuable as a test engine as they are as a traffic driving engine. They teach me what the consumer's thinking. They give me a window into their mental process. And I find it extremely valuable, and critically, I might point out that offline there isn't such way to accomplish the kind of insights you can get if you adequately study the patterns in your pay-per-click campaign. So moving on, weigh cost against exposure. Typically cost is weighed on a CPM basis, cost per thousand. And a lot of ads right now are running at $40 per thousand, which is really high. But, I don't mind the $40 per thousand. I don't mind $60 per thousand. Sure, I'd like to spend 20. All I care is how much did the campaign cost total, how much did the campaign yield total. Get lost in the CPM. I'm not going to pay $60 CPM. Some sites are worth that and more because they're going to convert higher. So keep that in mind. I would suggest that before placing, and this is a key point, and Brian All brought this up, and it's in the notes that he's prepared, and that's good. And Brian All, who prepared this, by the way, was the vice president of List Universe and has, founded ezinetips.com and is a kind of an expert in this subject himself. So, Brian, again, you feel free to jump in also. Before placing an ad in an ezine, subscribe to it and read several issues. Pay attention to the tone of the copy, the consistency of the publication schedule, and other factors that may impact the reception of your ad. It's important to do that. Try to get some feel for the tone of the e-zine and the audience that it's reaching, and you'll write a better ad. Also, pay very careful attention to ad placement. Stephen, I'd like your comment on this, if I could. I'd like to point out that you may think that an e-zine is working poorly for you, and it's only because you didn't buy the right ad. And I don't mean Stephen, but I mean the marketer. Where the package you buy and where your ad is at has a lot of impact on its overall conversion ratio. Do you have any thoughts on that, Stephen?
We've actually found that the ads work better if they're not right at the very, very top of the newsletter, which is the one that everybody always wants to purchase. If it can be before the first bit of content, not way down on the page, but maybe a couple paragraphs down into the content, then people have sort of switched into reading mode and out of
exactly right.
The ad mode. So that's really the only thing we found. And of course, the deeper you go down into the content, if it's a really long newsletter, then the fewer people you'll get, just because the people may not have time to read down through the entire newsletter. So that's what we found, though, is that it's more effective to be a couple paragraphs in than it is to be at the very, very top.
Yeah, I'll tell you something. I think that just this very day, we were here optimizing for a test an e-zine advertising campaign, different than the main one that we're working on right now. This one will run in November, and we were actually optimizing for the publisher, his e-zine look. And one of the things we pointed out was he had ads all over it, but A, he had too many ads. B, he had them in stark graphic banners. And our suggestion was to take about three paragraphs down and put a key ad embedded in the text and keep it primarily text-driven. And we suggested not more than two ads in the whole e-zine, in his case, because the length of his content and so on. And you'll be advised to do what Stephen says. If you can get your ad presented when you're in reading mode, not scan-by mode, which is how they start, you're a little more likely to get their attention. Microtests were possible. We've talked about this a lot, but, you know, I can't say it enough. Microtest it. And the difference between a microtest and a test is important. The difference between a test and a run is important. Here's what I mean by a run. A run is just somebody has a great idea, and they say, let's do it. They expect it's going to work. Sometimes it does. Most of the time it doesn't. When it fails. They lose money. They look bad. Some lose their job. That's how most of us do things. We have a business idea. We go do it. Now, a test is better than that because we recognize, hey, we really don't know if this is going to work. We're not going to stake either our reputation or our entire pocketbook on it. Instead, we're going to run a serious test. And a serious test is way better than just a blind run. But better than a serious test is a micro test, and it's something that we've advocated here for a long time. There are ways to use little bitty tiny subsets to figure things out quickly, efficiently, with minimal risk, and using those tiny micro tests, you then move to the final testing stage if necessary. But often you can draw enough inference from a smaller sample in a smaller test to make a good decision. And that's what you should do. Run smaller tests, figure it out that way. Don't shy away from repetition of your marketing message, especially where multiple ads will get you a discounted rate. Studies have shown that consumers often need to see a marketing message as many as 7 times before they respond. Madison Avenue used to say 16 times. The world has changed, and there's a way to do it. If it's a loud, obnoxious ad, seeing it multiple times only makes it more loud and more obnoxious. And who would want to be 17 times obnoxious, you know? But there's a way, if your presentation is right, if your tone is right, to make sure they encounter the ad more than once, because really do people often don't respond the first time until there's urgency added, until it's being taken away, or until they've seen it enough times at precisely the right moment where they're encountering the need. Which brings me to number 16. Utilize custom landing pages for individual e-zine ad campaigns. Now, this is very important. Once you get an e-zine that's a winner, customize the landing page for that e-zine so that it's very recognizable to the readers of that e-zine. So when they come, there's something about the landing page, there's something about its headline, there's something that ties it into the publication and the topic or the primary theme of that publication that they were in or exposed to prior to coming to your site. This will improve conversion. Specificity is what sells. And the only thing that keeps you from being totally specific with everything you do is time, the energy investment. So you have to be selective, but once you know what's working, focus down and be very specific. Don't be afraid to customize a landing page just for that audience. You'll find it'll be worth it. And once you get the template built, it's very easy to change that for another one and another. So we've written another whole report on how to build landing pages. And what link number is that, Jimmy or Brian? Pardon me? Brian? Brian? Brian?
Brian.
Okay. Are we still here? Can anyone hear me?
I think it's number 9, Flint.
All right, link number 9. Okay, I think he's gotten disconnected or something. Right. All right.
Number 9,
sorry. Okay. All right. So, incidentally, we'll keep going right now. All right, so... Finally,
suggestion on the landing page thing, actually.
Yes.
What we've had some really good luck with is if you just grab the logo of the e-zine that you're advertising in, and you can put it on that landing page so it looks more like a partnered kind of landing page, it sort of keeps people's brains in the same mode as when they clicked off of the newsletter and onto the landing page. It's a really simple way to customize that page and then have some really good content on that page.
Excellent. It's a very good point. And you know, that familiarity, and there's a couple of things I've noticed that often hurt us when we move from one page to another, from an ad page, is the users have to see something they expect when they move to that page. If they don't see something they expect, then continuity is broken, and if you shock them, they often click away. It's very good to pay attention even to the color scheme of the site you're coming from, and things like that will make a difference. Now, we're not going to be able to get through all of this today. I do want to point out number 17 is to utilize incentives. Give readers a reason to click your and check on your website. That'll make a significant difference for you. Tailor the incentive for readers of the specific e-zine in which your ads run. Very often, the right incentive will make a significant difference. And this may be a CD with critical information on it. It might be, you know, white papers have been worn out, but the right white paper on a topic that's so hot everybody wants to know the answer to, that will work. It might be access to a subscription site. It might be a free trial. It might be a really neat software download / utility. But consider incentives to get people to respond. Sometimes it takes an extra incentive. And finally, for today, I'd suggest you review a report on effective email campaigns for additional ideas on optimizing the actual marketing message. And that's going to be, you know, number, what, 10?
Like number 10, Flynn, if you can hear me now.
All right. So essentially, by the way, we're looking to hire somebody who's just a number teller. That, you know, if any of you out there are marketing not working, we're looking for something more reliable than Brian.
Yeah, I lost the reception. Sorry about that.
I know, Brian. I know. It's all right. Easy in advertising is very much a learn by doing / testing endeavor, but utilizing these techniques and implementing effective ad tracking solutions, you can find a formula, more or less, that will produce a strong yield for a very long time. And I think it's one of the most overlooked tactics yet on the net. Everybody's doing pay-per-click. With mixed success, but enough to keep pay-per-click popular. But even when it works, you run out of traffic that you can afford to buy at the rate that it's costing you. But easy in advertising opens up a whole new world for you. And I'll tell you something. What starts out to be an advertising relationship with a publisher can well turn into a strategic alliance and more. And if you're a larger company or you have the budget, it also may turn into potential acquisition. I think Steven could be bought out for 15 or 20 million, Steven. Wouldn't you agree?
Actually, 16.
16 million is the number. That's the day. Tomorrow we have 5,000 more new subscribers, and the number's going up. You know, I'm very serious. One of the smartest things anybody could do that's trying to reach Steven's market is to buy his company. Because think about it. I mean, you've got 191,500 plus members. He's got 17,000 plus articles, 57,000 discussion archives. Buying Steven's company gives you, the company throws off cash flow, and I'm sure it's a profitable operation, but besides that, what an access to influence your market. And very candidly, if you're in that league, look around for, and some of these sites are much smaller and can be picked up for nothing. There's little profit sites out there that have a strong showing, they've got 6,000 members on an e-zine, but they're just not, they really don't know how to make money. And they'd be happy for somebody to come along and write them a check. And you know how to take 6,000 people and turn them into a lot of customers and a lot of money. All right, I'm going to wrap this up. Any other comments from staff here before we shut down? Yeah. Steven, thank you for your time today and for joining us. And I appreciate it very much. And I thank my team for all their hard work. There's a lot of work that goes into the research these guys are cranking out for you, and I appreciate it. Many times they're working very late to get these things ready for these conferences. So thank you all, and we'll join you when I return from India for the next conference. Thank you.